It needs to be at my mouth, otherwise it looks weird.
Yeah.
Hey, hang on.
How's that for shaming them?
Actually, I swear to God, that's happened to me before.
Actually, it works.
One time, and a lady literally forgot that she had her camera on, and she just stripped her pants down and started peeing. And I was like, the lady in the bathroom, your camera's on. So awful. I was just like, all right. So what are we coaching on, Nancy?
Same thing we coached on last month.
You got to tell all the peoples, because somebody's going to be brand new watching this going, what was Nancy's story?
It was that she's a drama queen, according to Corinne. And
they all are, though. I mean, let's be honest.
At some level. So we kind of ended, well, my main thing was I do plan, mm-hmm. and then I don't do it. Ever.
Ever. Okay.
And, you know, like I make it through.
0 days that you've done it. Like you've wrote a plan every day the last 30 days and zero.
I have had, I think, actually I've been doing it since before I joined too. And which reminds me, I got to tell you one person who asked me to tell you, she's never joined. She's only done like the free stuff in the, you know.
Yeah.
You offer so generously, and it has changed her life. Just the free stuff. I mean, changed her life. 18 pounds, whole different look on life after 65 years of battling weight. So she wanted me to tell you.
Well, that's awesome. I said congratulations.
I did, and I told her that I believe you really generously, honestly like giving that part away. It's not just a marketing tool.
Yeah, no, I do. I do. Okay. I have too much passion for it. Really comes down to single mothers. Like, I mean, I think there's, I just know how hard my mother worked.
Yeah, well.
I wish somebody had given away free help so that she could have helped me and her.
Aww.
All right. Tell me about your bullshit drama. Why are you not like your friend following the plan?
I know. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So last week we ended with, okay, Nancy, you come home and your thoughts are, you tell this story after a nice dinner and a nice, with a small off plan eating, just a few French fries instead of your salad. And you come home and after your two planned wines, you have another.
Yeah.
And I said, I think it has to do with walking into the house and feeling that the only feeling that's worse than being alone right now is being with someone and feeling alone. Okay. And you said, no, that's really not the worst feeling in the world. And also, couldn't you tell yourself something different?
Mm-hmm.
So I start and I watched the whole, you know, module 4, a week in advance. Yeah. And did a lot of journaling, a lot of thought downloads, whatever, same thing basically. And I did start telling myself, you know, I have my husband still, I have blah, blah, blah.
And your husband's disabled, right? He's had a stroke or something?
Yes.
I'm just trying to make sure I remember. Okay.
Yes, and he has aphasia, which is a disease that leaves you unable to communicate.
Right.
So okay. I wait till I'm 45 years old to get married, right? Just because I really want somebody to talk to in my old age. Guess what? Tell God your plans, right?
I think... I'm just going to tell you right now, you're wanting to work on the food and you need to work on this. This whole story about God has played a joke on me is probably not a helpful thought. I've waited until I was 45 to have someone to talk to and then this.
So I did. I journaled a lot on that whole concept because remember, it was my big aha moment was, holy cow, I can tell myself what to think about this too, just like I can tell myself what to think about an urge or what to, you know.
Right.
And did some... circumstance, whatever you call that, what is that called?
Model.
Yeah. And so anyway, and kept trying and kept planning and not quite doing, but I got even worse. I got defiant. I got, like, I really don't ever recall myself getting before with any of the weird diets or the deprivation. I got really defiant.
Well, and of course, because now you're aware of your eating and what it's doing, and now we're asking you to take that piece away that you've identified as this is the piece, and then you're throwing a temper tantrum because, like, I don't want my passy taken away. I don't want to have to sit here and learn how to soothe myself.
Yeah, I listened this morning.
The next phase.
I listened this morning to your competing priorities, and I forget what the rest of the title is. One very long ago. I've listened to it three times now, but I forget the title.
Yeah.
And I really got that. I'm sitting here thinking this morning, okay, what am I going to talk to Corinne about? I'm not just going to tell her, oh, I'm writing a plan and not doing it still. Because I wondered over the past month why I felt so defiant. You know, like, screw it. Like, I'm not even having wine. My big thing is wine right now. It's not food. Is it not food? Same difference, I guess. And I am listening to some Rachel. Why am I... One night, I had two fillets of salmon out for our dinner. Mm-hmm. I cooked his and threw mine in the trash can in the garage. I'm like, what the heck? And had cheese and crackers.
So why did you throw the salmon away? What was going on in your head?
I just didn't want to eat. It was just like this, I don't want to. I mean, I was planning it.
Want to eat salmon?
And I like it.
But why did you not want to eat salmon and choose to eat cheese and crackers? What was the cheese and crackers doing for you that the salmon wasn't going to do?
It's cheating myself.
No, that's your judgment of it now. So there's when I ask you this question, I want you to drop into the space that nothing went wrong there.
I can do that.
Yeah. So we have to, like, right now, all I want to work on is why we're doing what we're doing. And we're not going to judge that I must be broken. Something must be wrong. This all didn't get better. Like, all of that is just your judgment over what's happening. And when you're in that space, guess what? You're not figuring out. Why are you choosing these things?
I know. And I have no, but at least I'm aware that I got more insane around it all.
That's the point. Like, we do want that level of awareness, but I want you to stop with awareness and not move into judgment.
Okay.
It's like, well, I had a coaching call. So, like, we have our list of had a coaching call, did my plans, did not follow any, started being defiant, blah, blah, blah. And then when you take all of those circumstances, delicious, like, all of those were your circumstances, you put them into one big thing and I ask you, what do you think about that? Your thought is something's going wrong.
Right. I was going to not call in because I was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah,
that would be the action line of something's going wrong, or I must be broken. Like, my friend is working for her, is not working for me. You start collecting all your evidence of, like, this is not a solvable problem. That's what judgment does. So if you're feeling, like, when we have our CTFAR, if your feeling is broken, all of these are C's. So if everybody's, like, watching, they're like, what are the C's again? The C's are, let's say, 30 broken plans, drink more wine, had a call. No change in overeats. That's all the circumstance. And what I am doing, which is what I don't encourage you guys to do, but I'm a master coach. I get to do what I want. We're just going to take all of these and put them in the circumstance line of, like, things that happened since the last call.
Which was like 4 weeks.
Yeah. So let's just say 4 weeks. All right. And the problem that we're having right now for you is that your model has you on the action line of judging yourself.
Ugh, I didn't even realize that. Ugh.
That's not how we stop overeats, guys. If judging yourself is your action line, it's never going to result in amazing weight loss story. It's going to result in, like, if your thought is, like, what is your thought about all this? Like, give me a few of them, a few of your judgments. Like,
thought.
Your shitty ones.
Some were reasonable, like, just curious. Like,
yeah.
God, I feel like I'm digging my heels in and acting crazy when I want a plan. I have a plan that I think will work.
I'm acting crazy. I'm going to tell you, I'm digging my heels in is not a helpful thought. How's that feel?
Well, I mean, I'm observing digging my feet. It's a fact.
It's not a fact.
It's not?
No, because like your level of digging your heels in is my level of binging. That's how we know it's not a fact. If I went to Chris and said, Nancy Sullivan has been digging her heels in, could he tell me exactly what you did in the last 30 days? No, that's how we know it's not a fact. Now, if we said Nancy Sullivan completed 30-day plans, she had a percentage, this percentage was how many overeats, this is the percentage of how many on plans, this is how many days she drank water and stuff.
Those are facts.
He might describe that as, she must really be digging in her heels. But he also would probably be like, she has the data to move forward. Whereas you feel like I'm working so hard, I think underneath I'm digging my heels in is a fully loaded diaper that you're wearing. I'm digging my heels in and it's not working.
Right.
It sounds like there's a parenthesis that goes around it, you know? But that's why we need to be really clear on when we're talking about circumstances. They have to be factual. Your numbers are factual. Digging your heels in is not a fact. But let's just go with, I'm acting crazy. You feel what when you think I'm acting crazy?
I mostly just feel frustrated.
Frustrated. And then when we're frustrated, we start judging ourselves. We start comparing to our neighbor. As innocent as it was for you to tell me her story,
yeah,
she told it as if she's better than me.
Yeah.
Like, I have to tell you this. She wanted me to tell you this. She's just doing the freestyle. She is just blah, blah, blah. Like, you weren't, like, crying and so happy for your friend. There was none of that happening, right?
And believe me, every time she calls to tell me I lost 4 more this month, I just want to go.
Well, okay. When we judge ourselves and we compare ourselves, the only result we ever get is more crazy thoughts, more crazy behavior.
Well, it's definitely what's happening this month.
Yeah. So that's why, like, when I really want to show you this model, because it's important, because you have to be willing when you're doing this process of, like, you're not just trying to figure out how not to eat at night. That's right. Not really what we're doing. We're really trying to figure out the action line is eating. We want to get to a model where the action line is sitting with ourselves.
Well, right. And that sadness that comes when I walk in the door or whatever and just going to sit there not talking is clearly what I don't want to feel.
Yeah. It's like, why? Why not? Why not just be sad? Tell me the worst case scenario. If you come in every night for 2 weeks and you just are sad that this, by looking at it and just noticing why you're sad.
Two things. First of all, I think I feel like if I let myself cry, it'll never stop. And I have to keep it together for, like, we're moving and there's so much to do and blah, blah, blah. And I got to take care of him. I have to keep it together. I can't just cry myself all day long, every day. It feels like I'll do that, which I know is not true. So that's a bad thought.
It's not that it's a bad thought. You need to start telling yourself that's a thought error.
Error.
That thought is very convenient for most of us, especially like with me and depression. I used to have a big story. If I couldn't be sad, because if I was sad, I would slip off the slope. Yeah. I would be so depressed I couldn't recover. And I would tell myself that. And it's so crazy. It's not a helpful thought, because it's like, oh, wait. So now I've set myself up to either overeat or to try to figure out a way to just be happy all the time and exclude the normal human experience. We were never designed as humans to not be sad at times.
Right. That's what I really got out of that one this morning about competing priorities. I really heard that. That's why I listened to it 3 times about what's so bad about it. What's so bad about sadness for me is I feel so out of control, which sucks, but not even that. It feels so hopeless. You know, we talk about getting to where we can create the life we want.
Right, but it feels hopeless because of why? Because why do things feel hopeless?
Because my thoughts about my situation with a man that I can't have, you know, like I saw your post the other day when you said the man of my dream, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, ooh, ouch. I think I
did. Why ouch? Why are you not describing your husband right now as he is, as he is the man of my dreams?
He was.
So he's just like, then why stay with him? Why not just divorce him?
Oh, I'm way too guilty.
But like, if guilt wasn't a thing, would you just be like, I'm out? Take care of yourself, dude. Find someone. Like, I just need to know, like, in your relationship, do you love him or no? Be honest. Because you need to be honest and not.
I do, but it's not a, it's just a whole different kind of love now, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think you do know. I think you're not giving yourself an opportunity to love him. I think you're so sold on the version you want to love and you want to just keep reminding yourself, you can't have that. I can't have that. I can't have that. You're not even exploring what you can have. Like, that's one version. And you don't have it. Like, I can tell by the look on your face, it's never even clued into you that there might be 1,000 other versions out there that you need to try on rather than holding on to the one that's always was made up in your mind. It was never a true version. It was a story version that you made up at one point. That's it. And you hang on to that story as if it's a fact.
You mean when we met and married?
Yeah, like everything that you think, everything that any of us ever think about our relationship, whether it's the one we have or the one we want, the one we don't have, whatever it is a collection of our thoughts about how we think it should be or should not be. It is not that it is. So if it's just a collection of all of your thoughts and your current thoughts are super painful, then you have two options. Sit on the couch every night and be in pain until you decide to start thinking about how you want to start thinking about it. We have to take the option three off the table, which is I eat acting like this isn't a problem. I drink acting like this isn't a problem. I drink thinking I'm never going to quit crying if I start crying. It's like, well, now you're just not quitting drinking. How's that working?
Not.
Yeah, you have to tell yourself that part. The story you keep saying is, well, I'm drinking the wine because I can't have what I want. I can't have the, God played a trick on me.
I deserve this.
That's the part you need to like sit. Like, you're going to feel sad because you're going to see all these thoughts. But I promise you, Nancy, when you sit and listen to the thoughts, rather than judging yourself, you shouldn't have them or that they're going to be too hard or whatever. And just be like, it is time for me to be really honest. What do I really think about my marriage? I want to see all of it because you're all, like, you think you're not sad, but you are. You get sad and then you drink and then you go to frustration about your drinking and your process. And you're just repeating all of that rather than like doing some sadness that will get you to the other side.
Right.
And allow you to figure out
right.
This relationship. If I'm staying, it's on me to figure out how to feel better about it. It's also on me to know that sometimes I will feel sad.
Okay. And I've started doing that since last month. I've started, which I think is why the eating or drinking got even crazier, so to speak. You know, literally feeling by noon or one or two, or oh, screw that. You know, the whole fucking whole thing. And that's not me. Generally, I mean, I made mistakes as I got learning this, but that's not me generally. Just screw it. But I think it is because I came right up to face those. And I have tried rewriting the story about what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Or what I would like it to be with the limitations involved.
Stop calling them limitations. It's not going to help you.
Well, communication in a marriage, isn't it hard enough? It's really hard.
Hey, we've got several chicks in the tribe whose husband communicates to them all the time, and they wish they could lose that part. And I'm not joking.
I mean,
there are some... I'm not joking. I mean, what you want so desperately is what somebody else doesn't want.
I know.
It's a construct. And I point this out because it's this idea that you keep thinking there is a better way, that it should be this. It shouldn't be this because he can't communicate.
And what am I supposed to think? Not only can't communicate, but is massively depressed, doesn't want to be awake, doesn't want to do anything.
Isn't it worth drinking over? You're not thinking that right now. You're thinking all of this is a massive problem and that's why I drink, rather than this is not worth drinking over. Like, he's depressed. Is that what you said?
Big time.
Okay. It's not big time. Let's get all the adjectives out. You've got to start, first thing you have to do is write your current, what you think about your husband and your marriage. And you need to write it as if you really think about it. And then you need to strip.
Horrible stuff, I think. All the negative.
It's not
negative.
Horrible. Stop judging. No judgment. It's the stuff I think. I want you to pay attention to how many times I pulled out, stop judging yourself, stop judging your thoughts, stop judging the things. That's what you said last time. Okay?
That's what you said last time.
Yeah. So we're going to write that story of everything that you think, the honest version. And then your job is to go back, and I would just do it. Have a good cry, because probably what's going to come up for you is the judgment. I wish I didn't think these things. This is my problem, blah, 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 blah. I just want you to make a list of, and this is the thoughts I have about all of it as the way I'm telling it. And then I don't want you to do anything with it for a few days. I want you to have a good cry. I want you to be like, and this is the best step forward, knowing what I'm thinking now, really being honest. I want you to make your plans. I want them to be super compassionate. Plan your cheese and crackers, whatever. Plan 2 glasses of wine at night, whatever. But make it to where it's super realistic, so that you need more time with everything in its honest, real state, and not in your I'm judging it all state, because that's all that's really happening right now. So there's no traction. Then in a week, I want you to get all of that stuff back out. The thoughts you have about your thoughts and your thoughts. And I want you to strip away everything that's not a fact. There can be no adjectives. There can be no big time depression. There's diagnosed with depression. There's no limitations. It's nonverbal, in wheelchair. Whatever it is, but they're not limitations. There are people in this world who would slap you if you called them being in a wheelchair and nonverbal limited, who are still trying to do things. That's how we know that is not a helpful thought for you. And it's not a fact. So you have to be, Nancy, when you do this, I want you to take it over to Ask Coaches. And I want you to be ask them, have I stripped it down to what it actually is yet? Let them take a pass at it and tell you, yes, this is it. Or they'll say no. And here's the other things. And Betsy, I know you're on the call, so be watching for this in about a week. Mm-hmm. I want the coach to give you the clean version if you haven't even gotten it all the way there yet. Okay?
No, I haven't.
All right. So I want you to get that in a week. Take it to the Ask Coaches. Once it's clean, then I just want you to start telling that story. This is what we have.
I do want to tell a different story.
I don't want you to tell a good story yet. But you can't tell a good story yet. You know why?
Because I haven't been honest about the not so good feeling.
You're still you have to look at it factually for a while to break your brain from thinking this is bad. Your brain will still be like, I want to tell a better story about this bad thing. Rather than, I really get it. My husband's in a wheelchair. He's nonverbal. He's been diagnosed with depression. I drink 2 glasses of wine a night. When there's no judgment, no descriptors, no anything, and you've sat with that for a while, you will, like, this is what you'll do next after you get it clean, is you, every time you catch yourself trying to describe it anew, the old way, talk about the old way, be like, oh no, this is all that's happening. These are my thoughts. These are my thoughts. That's how you break a connection between something being bad and something just is. My binge eaters can do the exact same thing. This comes up in binge eating a lot. They have the hardest time doing their work because they think their binging is bad. And we have to break that tie, because you never can think anything new and nothing ever sticks and intentional models fall flat when you're trying to feel good about something that you believe at your core is bad.
And is this the process whereby turning it around? Like right now, I believe in my core, drinking every day is bad for me, for not for anybody else necessarily, but for me. And I don't know how to not see it as bad or wrong. It's just
drinking. The way that I would start talking about it is, I've been using drinking to cover up my thoughts and feelings.
Okay,
period. And that's not the person I want to be.
Period.
I want to be the kind of person who like starts looking at their thoughts and feelings and doesn't need to be drinking or eating.
And all that's factual.
Yeah, I mean, you can just put like your 2 drinks like a night, whatever it is, and your new thought is, I'm not the kind of person who needs alcohol to get through the evening. Like, and you have to start adapting that kind of like persona. Like, I'm becoming the kind of person who sits with their feelings. I'm willing to be sad, upset, and uncomfortable tonight and leave it there. Like, I think a lot of you try to go to intentional models that feel really good. Like, well, if my intentional model feels good, then not eating and not drinking will be easy. And like the next step is, I'm willing for it not to be easy, but I'm also willing to be nice to myself through the process.
Okay.
And just let all of it come up. You're still going to want to rebel. You're still going to have your knee-jerk reactions to want to like throw your salmon away and break the plans. I just invite you that every time that that happens, to ask one simple question. Why do I want to do that right now? Without judging yourself and without being frustrated. If you're going to throw salmon away and eat cheese and crackers, at least know why you're doing it. Because I asked you and you said, I don't know why.
I don't.
So ask in the moment. And just be like, this is part of the process. I may still eat my cheese and crackers, but I at least want to know why. It's because I'm tired of thinking about my husband. It's because today I don't want to do work with my husband. Those will be the things that will come up. And you need to know that part. And you write it down so that when you do your recovery worksheet, you can start seeing the patterns. Be like, oh, I'm not wanting to think about my husband. Why? What story am I telling right now that would make me not want to work on it or make me not want to think about it? That's how you start figuring out what to work on next. It's like little breadcrumbs all along the way. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I feel like I'm out of breath. We must have done good work.
Let's do another month, and then I'll be in Columbus, Ohio, so I want to meet some of the people up there.
Oh, we got a ton. We got a ton. We got some of our biggest all-time success stories live there, too, who know a lot about the model, too, who can help you.
Awesome. Awesome. I go on November 15th.
Awesome. All right, lady. I'm glad you came back.
Thank you. I'm glad we got on.
All righty. Talk to you later. Bye. Okay, Leslie, you're next. I went long on that one, guys, but I think it was a really good one. I think it was super helpful. All right, Leslie.
Start my video.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it working?
Yes.
Hi.
All the audio, all the video.
Fantastic. Hi.
Hello.
So I'm guessing you're wondering what we're coaching on today.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell all the people. Like, I've got your stuff, but they don't read my Asana task cards. Sure.
All right, so what I was hoping to talk to you today about is I'm a very type B person, and I suffer from what I call good enough syndrome. And on one side of it, I feel like I really like that about myself, that I'm laid back and easygoing and go with the flow. And then on the other side of it, I feel like maybe it holds me back in in all areas of my life.
Where's the place that's holding you back now?
Well, for instance, the weight loss has been super slow. It is coming off, but it is super slow.
Tell me what super slow means.
Well, I've lost, like, I started listening to the podcast in January and joined in April, but I've lost like 27 pounds since January.
And you call this super slow?
It seems super slow because it feels like there's weeks, even months at a time where nothing's happening.
Is it seem like, or do you have data?
Well, let's see. I've lost the first 15 pounds before I even joined between January and April. So that means it's only been 12 pounds since April.
Why do you care about that? Like, that is ridiculous. I'm just going to just state it.
Okay.
You know why it's ridiculous?
Why?
Because you would be getting on this coaching. Like, if you're describing your weight loss as if this is a terrible event that is happening to you. It's super slow. It's bringing up all my good enough bullshit. It's like all these things. It's like, it's 27 pounds.
Sure.
You get to decide, do you want to use that as fuel to move forward? Or is like this albatross you're dragging along with you of slow weight loss? It's just going to be like, you know, the next 27, I'm sure it's going to be as awesome as this one.
Well, I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Then describe it like you don't hate it. Because, like, seriously, I want you to watch the video and you're presenting as if you have a problem.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's 27 pounds. And the best you got is it's slow weight loss. Seriously.
Yeah.
How's it feel? How's slow weight loss feeling for you?
Fine. It feels like I'm very happy that I've gone as far as I have.
No, not after I yelled at you about it. When you're sitting around all the time thinking about, oh, yeah, it's time to make my next 24-hour plan, you know I'll lose weight really slow. Oh, my God.
No, I don't. It's really not like that. But I, as much as I can celebrate the 27 pounds, I know that if I had worked a little harder, I could have done better also. So it's just the flip side of it.
Okay, so that's a judgment you have on yourself that's just not helpful.
Okay.
If I had have worked harder, why are we going back to our past? Like, now I want to rewrite how I've done my past. Do you see how, like, your brain is, like, really hanging on to the idea of this is a problem, this 27 sure. pounds? I think you're looking at it. The reason why I'm bringing all this up is because all of you do this. You wonder why it's hard to be motivated. Like, if you want to go from, like, good enough to what do you want it to be?
I mean, I'd like to be more consistent at 4 or 5 pounds a month.
Okay, so if you want to be consistent, so if you want your action line to be consistency, thinking about how slow it is and going back and figuring out how many ways you messed up probably isn't going to put fuel on your fire. Sure. It's going to keep you, like, in the good enough lane.
Okay, yes.
Fine. Like, I love that feeling. Y'all do that. It feels fine. Like, I really want to be a go-getter, but I'm going to start describing everything I'm doing as, like, well, it's fine.
I mean, I'm enthusiastic about the project, about the process. I guess it's just a judgment about myself. I feel like it's like an example of, you know, other things in my life as well. So I guess I'm just picking on that.
Yeah. Maybe. We're pulling out weight loss because it was the easiest one to grab circumstance. Mm-hmm. 27 pounds in 2019 is your circumstance. And if you want to lose another 27, or you want your result line to be 4 to 5 pounds a month, you're not going to be able to keep describing what you've done as slow. Mm-hmm. If you want faster results, you have to describe it in a way of, like, I'm making a lot of progress. It's time to figure out how to level up. Like, sure, that is what somebody who wants more energy into the project to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, feeling fine. What is your action when you're sitting around thinking about this has been slow, it's fine. What are your actions?
I would just status quo, just pretty much exactly what I've been doing.
Oh, just right. So you just, like, what is it that you've been doing?
I mean, I do all the basics and, you know, I plan regularly. I
But are you like, are you leveling up every day? Are you challenging yourself? Are
not
you-
every day. I did write a few level ups this morning when I was journaling. So.
Okay. All right. So basically we're doing the basics and stuff. But we're like, you're not really attacking it, right? It's not like you're just like going in there like, oh, I can't wait. And I'm going to see what else I can do today. And
sure.
Like, that's the kind of energy 4 to 5 pounds would be.
Okay.
Nine is like, oh, just going to keep doing what I'm doing. It's slow. I'm doing well. Like, I don't want you to think that you've got to beat yourself up because okay. I think this is almost like beating yourself up.
The type B in me doesn't really, I don't really beat myself up. I think I feel like I suffer from the opposite of that. Like I should maybe beat myself up a little more.
No, we don't want to beat ourselves up, but I want you to look at how boring you describe your process.
Yeah.
It's slow weight loss. It's fine. I do the basics. Sometimes I challenge myself.
Sure.
And so the result is you slowly get there. So that's not a problem outside of the fact you said you want to go faster. So you have to describe it and start thinking like someone who wants to go faster. And okay. you have to decide, though, do you really want to do that? And is right. this actually slow? So how much is that? What do we got, 10 months?
Yeah.
And how much weight do you have to lose?
I have another 30.
30, okay. So 27 divided by 10. You've been losing 2.7 a week divided by 4. So you're losing over a half a pound a week now.
Okay.
All right. So you're losing almost 3/4 of a pound a week.
Okay.
So the question becomes, if you want to be somebody who's losing weight faster, is number one, well, it's not the question, but the first thing that has to happen, we have to clean this line up. We have to quit describing the past as slow.
Okay.
We have to just be like, I've lost 27 pounds. That's amazing. I've got my 4 basics dialed in, time to level up. Like you have to have energetic thoughts. You're going to need to create on purpose thoughts that are not generating fine as the feeling. And that the action line isn't doing the 4 basics.
Okay.
So we're going to do this because everybody's like, what? She's not going to do the 4 basics? Are we finally getting the super secret fast plan?
All for me. Great.
They're all going to be like, all right, this super secret thing really sucks, Corinne. Like, I thought it would be more exciting. So what do you think the action line, if your result is now we're going to lose, let's just go to 4 pounds a week. Here's the reason why I want you at 4. I don't want you doubling okay. all your efforts or more than doubling them. I mean, like going from a half a pound, a little bit more than half a pound to 4 pounds is like, all right. So if I want to double my results, I have to double my efforts.
Okay. Yeah.
So what is going on your action line now that someone who's going to lose a pound a week needs to start considering not doing anymore? So like when you look at your consistency, I always start with consistency first. Mm-hmm. Are you planning every single day without fail?
I plan 98.5% of the time. Occasionally I'll miss a day, but it's really very, very rare.
Okay. So that's an easy one to fix. It has to be 100%.
Okay.
If somebody who's determined to lose a pound a week, like just like it's a zero tolerance. Mm-hmm. I plan every day. I don't care if I don't catch it until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I make a plan for the rest of the day. Like sure. That's how I roll. All right. What about overeats? How many recovery worksheets and stuff are you doing, that kind of thing?
I don't do them as much as I should. I probably do a couple a week.
And how many overeats though are you having?
I'm still not exactly sure. There's times where I think I may be overeating at dinner. But I eat an early when I doesn't matter, but I eat an early dinner. I'm usually done eating by 4 or 4:30 and I don't eat for the rest of the night, just the way our family schedule works. And I get hungry by 8 o'clock, but I just don't cause it's late enough in the day. So when I'm eating it, sometimes I'm like, maybe I should have eaten a little less, but then I get hungry so quickly after I don't know.
So here's what I would do. If I was determined to lose a pound a week, if I even had a hint or whisper I overate, I would do a recovery worksheet.
Okay.
Every single time. Because I would be like, I am so determined to do this. Like, I want to know everything I would want to know. And sometimes maybe it wasn't an overeat, but it sure fucking didn't hurt going through the worksheet to figure out what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It may show and shine light on something that you don't even know is a problem. Kind of like it's slow weight loss.
Right.
All right. So then if you want to lose a pound of weight, you probably are going to need to do all your recovery worksheets.
Yeah.
Not just the ones that you feel like you want to do.
Sure. Right.
So what else is going on with, you will need to like uncover these overeats too.
Yeah.
Are there other kinds of, like, are you having any whammy overeats or anything like?
I really don't have any, I can't stand getting too full anymore.
Okay.
He cured me of that. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to get there. So, I mean, if my overeats are really of 3 or 4, and if I'm, you know, if I'm out at a restaurant drinking, maybe a 5, but that, I mean, I can count 3 times since January that has happened. So I really don't, no crazy overeats, nothing like that.
Okay. All right. So that's good. What about your quality? Good, better, best. Do we have like, here's what I would do if I was you. So I'm going to lose 4 pounds a week. It's like 100% on my recovery worksheets. It's 100% planning. Like, I just wouldn't tolerate, like, guys, I always go back to, you have to be planning and you have to be doing your recovery worksheets, because what you don't know and what you refuse to see is exactly your problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most people who are losing weight or whatever, they will like tell me, well, I'm doing like 80% of the time. I don't know why I'm stalled.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 20% of the time we need to know what the fuck's going on.
I journal every morning. So I was kind of, I think, telling myself that was good enough, that I do like a thought download every morning on the day before food. So I think I was using that as a trade-off instead of doing the actual recovery sheets.
Yes. Let's do the actual recovery worksheets. They're
sure.
Also changing for Nobius. We're getting ready to launch a brand new one. That's going to be even better than the old ones. And the old ones are pretty good.
Okay.
The other thing, like, you know, how's your water and sleep?
Really good. I'm a sleeper, never had problems sleeping, and I'm really good with my water.
Okay. So let's go back to good, better, best. This is where I think what I want you to really look at. When I hear someone who wants to really move up and you don't really have any kind of like huge things going on, it's probably quality of food at that point.
You know, that's the funny thing. I eat a plant-based diet. I eat mostly whole foods. I don't.
What is when it's not mostly, what is it?
I would say the ordering in probably like, you know, veggie burgers or Thai food, which does happen. Probably 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to lose a pound a week, you probably can't rely on the burger boy who's making your impossible burger or whatever it's called
right.
to be like concerned about making sure that it's all best quality. So it's like looking at those little things. One of the things that I will caution all of you to do.
And it's all on the weekend.
Totally fine to be like, you know, I eat pretty healthy. But I often will tell you that's not a helpful thought. When you are trying to figure out how to move faster or do better, sitting around and like taking in like, but I'm doing this, but I'm, like when you're arguing for your current status,
yeah,
you're not doing is brainstorming the next step.
Definitely.
And so like, and you're not even arguing in like a like terrible way. It's like, but I just want you to be aware of when we're looking for what we're going to do next. I think it's very common with dieters for us to be so proud of ourselves and to be like, I've come so far, I'm doing so well. It's like, if I start challenging myself as if this is no longer good enough, it's like, no, this has been great.
Yeah.
It's just like the next step though has another evolution to it.
Right.
It doesn't take away from that. So like watch your language, all of you, when you are looking at what am I going to be doing next? You can't sit around and just say, I've done so well and that's awesome. But the next version of me,
yeah,
is like waiting, you know, like
that
really thinking into that future.
Sense. Now that you say that, I realize that I am looking back more than looking forward. And I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Yeah. It's so subtle. That's why I really appreciate this call with you, because it's some of those things are such subtle nuances that sometimes you just need like me hearing it to pull it out, you know? Yeah. And I mean, that's why we have the accountability groups and stuff. Yes. I love these coaching calls because the more you guys hear me and what I'm pulling out, you hear it in your groups and you're able to start pulling out of your accountability partners. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, not everybody has to get on a call about, let me tell my verbal vomit. You know, that's the amazing thing about us having these calls. But all right, so we're going to like think about our next level ups. Like just being really like good at going back, since you have so many good plans, we'll just look at the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And just say like, if I was going to change something, if there's room for improvement, it would be these things. These are great, but it may just be time for a refresh.
Okay.
Okay. So how are you going to need to feel in order to do that kind of work?
Enthusiastic.
Yeah. Enthusiastic is a good one. Determined.
Determined. Enthusiasm, I have tons of. Determination, I probably need to work a little bit on that one.
Let's use that one then. Let's go. Because okay. You'll be excited about doing something new, but we want determination for implementation.
Mm-hmm.
You know? All right, so we're going to use determination. So in order for you to feel determined about getting to 4 pounds. I've got 4 pounds a week. Let's put a month.
I knew what you meant.
I just now caught that. I'm like, damn.
I was like, wow, she really believes in me.
I was like, if I can figure that out, like, Oprah, watch out. And none of us suffer through the process.
Right.
What thought will we need to feel determined?
To feel determined, I would need to, I guess I just need to hold on to that finish line. I think I've been so focused on the process and maybe not so focused on the finish. And I don't want to say finish because it's not like this will ever end. So I guess the goal. I don't know. I guess I need to be more outcome focused.
You can do, there's a couple of thoughts that come to my mind is, like I'm willing to keep focused or, because your whole thing is about like, everything feels fine. It feels good enough. And you can just start saying things like, I already know what's good enough. I'm ready to see what best feels like to me.
Oh,
I'm ready to see like what that is. I'm willing to challenge myself to me. You know,
that's that kind one. Of
thing. All right. So how about I'm willing to challenge myself?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Oh, I could write that every day on my thought I'm working to believe about myself.
Mm-hmm. And what is your compelling reason usually? Do you have like a certain one you like, or do you have a bunch of different ones?
I have a whole kind of, whenever I just did this like 2 days ago, let me just sit down and do the exercise again. And it really comes down to being just like, the most healthy I can be for the rest of my life and kind of just the best version inside and out that I can be is really what they all come down to. I mean, I want to look good. I want to feel good. I want to share clothes with my teenage daughter, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. So it sounds like you're dialed in there. And I think just like when you were talking about that outcome-based thing, it's really, that's going to be what you could do is where your compelling reason is you can say like, this is like, I want to be healthy. I want to wear clothes like that. And my goal is 4 pounds this month. I mean, just, you know, and then putting in your circles, make sure you're putting in your circles, this new goal.
Okay.
And being really careful in your daily actions. I think it's what I notice I do with myself, with my planner is my daily actions get very rote and very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Water, 2 to 2, make my plan. Like I'm not really putting today's daily actions in there. So I've really started working on like, you know, remind myself we're not having wine tonight at 1 o'clock. You know, like, because one of the things that I will want to do is like, just like, let's go have wine, whatever it is. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I've been really identifying. So what are the ways that I have been breaking my plans or not following my plans and, you know, whatever's going on there. And then I've been moving to my daily actions the next day to be hyper-focused on the thing that I'm not doing. Like today I'm going to need to do that rather than just being like 2 to 2, 4 basics. Wah, wah.
Right. You say that and it occurs to me that there's been something like on the back of my mind that I know that I've needed to work on that I've been putting it off, and it's eating without distraction. I need to stop eating lunch and dinner in front of the television. Like, I know I've needed to do it, and I've just been putting it off and putting it off.
Yeah, so, it's like no TV day.
Yeah.
I think that that's one of the things that I'm going to really, we have a surprise for you guys in January. We're going to be doing something super special. It's going to be a lot of little bitty videos for me and all kinds of bullshit coming in, but it's basically me helping you guys almost daily with the planner and all the ideas I have and all the things and stuff. It's going to have a hashtag name, all the stuff, but that's all coming in January. It's like it's new year. Like, we're going to kick some ass and do it. But one of the things I really want to teach you guys is how I use the planner and how, like, it's not just a matter of writing some shit in there. It's like, what do I think when I'm writing the planner? What are all the different ways that I'm using the planner and nuancing it and making it my own and not getting locked into how it's written? Like, you know, let it be a living document for you guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Really work on that starting in January.
That's exciting.
I know. I'm excited about it. I wish it was now. But we're going to do January because we already have amazing plans for November and December. I'm just like, we just keep coming up with so many good ideas. I'm like, holy fuck. Like,
well, we
went through all of them.
We're ready for all of them. We love them all. So
we are pulling them together. So. All right. Well, it was a good call.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Bye.
All right. Keitha, are you here?
Yep.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just can't see you yet.
I don't know what's going on.
I asked you to start video. See if you got.
Oh, yes. There it is right there. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Hi.
Hello.
Totally nervous about this call. Like, my first one finally. But anyway, so I heard that in the last call, you said you do get the notes about what we wrote in about. And so I wrote in about fear and anxiety. And I think that that's definitely, yeah, if I'm going to cry just saying it out loud, probably so. But before I tell you all my crappy thoughts, I do want to tell you all the good things because I know that you want to know those things. So I joined a group B in January and then joined the tribe in April.
Okay.
And I wish my problem was it was slow 27 pounds, but that's not it. That would be a great problem. And today, I think for the first time, I'm thinking, I don't really care about my weight today. I don't care about the scale number. So that's a huge thing.
Okay.
I've learned through being in the tribe that I'm a binger.
Okay.
I never identified with that before. I identified it differently, but I didn't realize that I thought if I didn't stuff myself and throw up that I wasn't a binger. Well, okay. I am. I'm a roller coaster binger. So I may binge for 3 days and then not eat for a week. But I
so
eat
you
like
you are a binger and purger. You're just doing it through restriction of food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't, that was a huge light bulb moment for me over the past few months. The perfectionism has come up with me and I've learned through that. So I'm very grateful for all the things I've learned. So now I'm at the point where I think I'm fear and anxiety comes with success or failure.
Okay.
Is where I am. So I took a new job and it's been extremely stressful and probably a big reach for me in my mind, but at the same time I'm doing well, but I end up in the corner rocking. I mean,
took a new job.
Uh-huh.
And why is this a problem?
I think it's requiring more of me than what I want to give. I worked really hard. Like I've had a really successful career in different things that I've done. And I've worked really, really hard. And I finally had gotten myself to a very manageable job, very manageable lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then somehow the go-getter in me can't be happy with that. Okay. And so now what I'm realizing is like, I couldn't figure out what the buffering was that you talk about. Until I heard Brooke talk about the escape button.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I pictured myself in a plane hitting the eject button. And that's exactly what I do with my life. I just go and go and go. And it doesn't matter if it's eating, drinking, spending, traveling. Like today, I'm really good, other than I cried when I said fear out loud. Because I got on a plane. I've only been in my hotel room for an hour. and because I'm coming to a work conference. So this week, it's my anniversary weekend. So my husband's coming to the conference after it's over. So I get to eat, drink, have all the sex I want. I get to spend all the money I want. I get to have all the fun. It's all my escape buttons. So,
but I want you to listen how you just described it. I get to.
Yeah. That's not good.
Just an interesting way to describe it. As if you don't ever get to do those things and yet you're a binger. So you're already eating all the things you want to.
Yeah.
You always
maybe I'm giving myself permission that since I'm on vacation or
you always give yourself any time you binge, you overspend, you get stressed or whatever, you have decided to give yourself permission to do that every single time. No one else does that for you. You can't abdicate your feelings away, nor your actions.
Yeah, maybe I don't think I feel like I give myself permission.
But you do, because you do it.
Yeah, I do it.
I mean, that's the story telling yourself, though. You're acting like it's like something outside of you is happening. Before you can ever take authority over it, you have to know first and foremost, I just chose anxiety. I just chose fear. I just chose to spend. I just chose to binge. That was all on me. When you can drop into, I'm the one controlling all of it, the side that you don't want, that also allows you to know, you can also drop into the side that doesn't do those things if they don't want to. If it's happening outside of you, you will never, you'll be like, well, I can't fix it because I have this. Mm-hmm. Like I've got this job requiring more of me than I'm willing to give. A job can't do that.
Okay.
You have a job.
Yeah, that would definitely be something that I've done over the years, is that I've always had reasons why I just couldn't make time for me, or I couldn't take care of myself or do the things I need to do. I always had bigger and better plans than taking care of me.
Yeah, but that's you deciding that. You are saying the job is responsible for you. It's the job doing the things to me. That's why this thought is awful for you. Does the job really require more than you're willing to give? I want you to really think about this.
Yeah, I'm going to need to think about that.
So tell me.
Because it does. It's more than I want right now. And I guess.
And why have you not just quit? There's an escape button. Out. Bye.
Then that's failure.
No, that's quitting. Yeah. You can chalk it up to being failure if you want to. Right. But here's the problem. Or here's the thing. You're willing to give because you don't want to be a failure. So it's not the job requiring it. That's still Keitha. Keitha's not quitting because she would describe herself as a failure. So guess what? I'm willing to give to this job. It's not the job doing it to me.
Okay. I just have to learn to say no.
Probably. That way,
yeah.
I mean, that's one thing you probably have to do.
Yeah.
The first thing you have to do is say that everything that I give to the job is my choice. You have to, like, before we get to feel better and resolve anxiety and all that other stuff, you have to be in total ownership that you are the one generating all of it. It can't be the job's fault. It can't be your husband's. It can't be vacation's fault that you're eating. It can't be any of these things. It's always me, me, me. For a lot of you, that feels very heavy in the beginning.
Yeah,
it's heavy. It's the only way to get to the part to where you take authority over everything you decide to start thinking. Can't think new things if you think jobs are causing what you're doing now.
Okay.
So what are you so afraid of? You keep going back to fear.
I have no idea. That's why I think I just want to get to the point where I can figure out what I've tried the models. I've tried journaling and writing it down, trying to figure out, like, what am I trying to escape from? And I really haven't been able to figure that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing you're trying to escape from, telling people no. That's easy. You just said it out loud.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's no doubt that I'm a people pleaser and have always been that way. But I just feel like there's something, I don't know what it is. Like, I can't seem to figure out, like, I've wondered, is it depression? Is it hormones? Is it, like, no, I've thought about all these things.
I'm not even going to go there. It's none of that. That's you grasping at straws. Tell me what you're afraid of. Like, in this job. You said it's causing all kinds of stress and anxiety. It's more than you can handle. That was several of the thoughts. Why? Why is it more than you can handle? Sounds like you're handling it just fine. You're still getting paid.
Oh, yeah. I'm still getting paid. I think it's, and I don't know, it's definitely not more than I can handle. I can definitely handle it. I'm always can handle pretty much anything that's given to me. I think it's more than I want to handle. I don't want to work 14 and 15 hour days, and I don't want to work all weekend. And I don't want to, like yesterday, it was 3 o'clock before I went to the bathroom once. Okay. And before I had anything to eat or drink.
Do you think that's the job doing that to you?
Hearing you say it, no, it's my choice because I push myself beyond what probably is normal.
So why, like, you tell me, when you work for, let's do a 14-hour day.
Yep, yesterday was one.
Okay, so yesterday we worked, that's great, 14 hours on Tuesday. Okay, so what? You worked 14 hours. Why is this a problem?
I was hungry, thirsty, and tired most of the day, which
is
never
the job's problem.
No, it was mine.
Your thought about this is you had to do it?
Yes, because I had so much I had to get done before I left to go out of town.
Okay, so you get to decide if that's what you like. This is what you have to realize. I'm preparing to go out of town. You can either feel very empowered and be like, I'm so willing to do that. Like, I'm going to tell you, before I go out of town, I fucking work some long hours, but I don't sit there and feel like the job is taking from me.
Okay.
I just decide, like, I made the choice because I know that the job is not doing things to me. Let's say you just decided, like, I'm just doing 8. I'm not getting any of that shit done. I'm going to leave. Like, what is the worst case scenario if you had decided, like, I got 8 hours and I'm fucking going to pee at 10 and 2. We're not just peeing at 3 o'clock today. We're going to pee. We're going to actually eat a sandwich. We're doing the things today and we're getting it done in 8 hours.
That would be because I wouldn't get done when I need to get done. And then I'd let people down.
I'd let people down. Okay. And, so they all get let down.
And then
they're all sitting there
I would feel
the loser.
Yeah. I'd be the loser. And I don't want to do that. Like I can't not do well. Does that make sense?
You've decided though, unless you worked 14 hours that you wouldn't be doing well rather than trying to decide mm-hmm. like, this is how much I'm willing to give the job. And this is me going to be my best, but not in a way that beats me up. It doesn't mean that you work less hours. It means that you start realizing the only reason why you're doing it is because you're afraid of what other people will think, rather than taking ownership of the reason why I'm working 14 hours is because I'm afraid of what other people think. It's not the job's fault. Like, you got to be in that space first. So what if they all think you're a loser? Like, every one of them, your boss is like, oh my God, we promoted her? This is some shit. I really thought like she was going to do better. She's not working 14 hours. And I think she peed twice.
I think if I thought that
like really,
this is probably a problem I've always had. If I've ever thought my coworkers or my boss thought those things about me, I'd end up in the corner in a ball.
What's so funny is they probably do think that shit about you now at 14 hours.
Probably. Probably so.
You just think that you're controlling things by doing, and then that's influencing their opinions. You're not doing anything. You're only controlling your own opinion. They could be thinking you're doing terrible. They could be thinking you're doing amazing. They could be thinking anything they want, and it won't be because of what you're doing. It's going to be because of what they decide to make it mean what you're doing. Some of them could just be like, I feel bad for Keitha. Like, she's just so, she looks burned out. They might not be thinking you're an amazing employee. They may be thinking, like, maybe we should demote her. She's working too hard.
Yeah, maybe.
You just don't know. That's the whole thing. Like, I want you to drop into the space of, like, I really don't know what they're thinking. It's none of my business at the end of the day. If I stay in my model and I start making models that work for me, my life gets exponentially better. And people will still be able to think whatever they want because that's what's happening now anyway.
Okay. I think that I'm following that a little bit. It's my fear comes from what people think of me.
Yeah.
We're
now going to move 14 hours on Tuesday to your action line.
Oh.
So what we just did is we took your C and we had your circumstances 14 hours on Tuesday and we got your thoughts on that. This job is requiring more of me than I'm willing to give. And what we found out is the job is not requiring anything. I am overgiving because I'm afraid of what they'll think. It's not the job. This is all me. This is why, like, I just want you to be in the space to understand, like, when I'm killing myself and doing things, it has nothing to do with my circumstances anymore. I just want you to start taking real ownership of, I am doing things, trying to control other people's opinions, all the while ignoring my own.
Okay.
And I'm just going to tell you, the easiest opinion to change is the one that's in between your ears. It's the only one we have authority over.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if everybody just thinks you're a loser because you work 14 hours? Oh my gosh, she must be really dumb. She can't get her work done in 8 hours.
Right.
And she's ruining her bladder.
And so, can we talk about the planner and the water bottle that I put in my original email?
No, we're staying with fear. It made you cry. We're staying with what makes you cry. I don't give a fuck about a water bottle. I don't know what's going on with your water bottle, but we're going to not talk about that yet. All right, fear. Okay. That is why you worked 14 hours on Tuesday. What were you afraid of? So you were going on vacation into a conference.
I was, yeah.
Your thought was what?
I just had too much to do before I left that I was already so far behind.
I'm so far behind. And what that doesn't drive fear, that drives overwhelm. But you were so far behind, you were afraid what would happen if you left it undone.
I wouldn't be able to catch up when I get back, or I wouldn't meet a deadline.
And if you didn't meet a deadline, so what? Why is that so fearful? What would happen? Like, what's the worst case scenario? You miss a deadline. You go on vacation. You go to a conference. You miss a deadline. What are you afraid of?
I've had this conversation in my head and thought, okay, the worst thing, they can't eat me. They can just fire me. And I don't think they'd fire me for one deadline or one, they're not going to do that, but it's just not who I am. So, I mean, I guess the worst thing that could happen is I just would miss a deadline.
That is the worst thing that happens. The worst thing that will happen is you miss a deadline and somebody says, hey, it's not like you.
Okay.
And yet we killed ourselves on a 14-hour Tuesday to avoid that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Are sold that without the 14-hour day and doing it from fear that you wouldn't have gotten it done. And that's what I really want for you to do, is like really question the construct of how you have it set up.
Well, I didn't get it done. There was one thing I didn't get done, and I had to be at the airport. I had to get up at 3 this morning to be at the airport by 5.
Yeah.
So back to the airport, I started working, and I got half of it done and sent it in and said, I just need some grace. Like, I ran out of time, and I'm getting on my next airplane, and this is all I have done. I'll finish it tomorrow night after the conference. But again, I got up at 3. I get done tonight at 8 o'clock, which means now I'm going to be up for probably 20 hours and then have to do this all over again tomorrow.
But listen to how you're describing it. And then I have to do this all over again tomorrow. You could be easily saying, I choose to do it all again tomorrow.
Okay.
Because you are.
Yeah. Because I could have, like, I could have easily asked for 2 days.
You could do a million things, but you'll never ask for more days, and you'll never treat yourself compassionately, and you'll never, like, change the relationship with your job until the moment comes where you think the job isn't doing it to you. Like, describing things as I have to is a very sure sign. I am a victim now of my job. I have to go to the conference. It's just like all of us with kids. Well, we have to take them to school. It's like, no, there are people all over the country right now who, you know, go to jail because their kids are truant because they chose not to do that. We choose not to pay that consequence. Just like you might not choose to pay the consequence of not meeting a deadline, but own that. You acting like a victim keeps you in fear. It keeps you feeling like shit. Like going on the conference, I have to finish this work. Gets you afraid, gets you overwhelmed. It has you working 14 hours on Tuesday. And it's just you resulting in, like, creating a fake-ass system of what you have to do. You're reinforcing that things outside of you control you. Like, your next model is not, like, my job's amazing and everybody can think anything they want about me and blah, blah, blah. My anxiety's gone. Your next model is painful. It's called, it's all on me model.
Okay.
I no longer ever do anything from a place of thinking I have to, someone makes me, it's forced on me, there's no other option. Just say, be honest and say, like, you know the reason why I work 14 hours? I don't want to hear any shit from anyone that I'm not doing a good job. That is why I worked 14 hours. I didn't have to. I chose to because I didn't want to feel embarrassed. I didn't want to feel afraid. I didn't want to feel judged. When you move over into that space, then at some point, then you can start questioning and be like, what is the worst case scenario if I don't fucking finish this? This is you at like 10 o'clock last night. All right. I know I don't have to be doing this. I'm doing this to myself. What is the worst case scenario if I don't finish? Oh, I have to send an email and admit that I couldn't finish it. Someone might think something poorly, but I might also get a deadline. So I could just try that. That is when you stop acting like things are happening to you, new avenues show up and you're willing. Like, there's times that I can't do stuff for you guys. And I have to be willing to the tribe to be like, you know, Corinne is like, she must be off with Logan walking the trails or something and not sitting here while I'm eating my donut.
Okay.
That's how you're going to alleviate your fear and anxiety. The only way that you get rid of it is when you're willing to feel it in the moment. And then you just don't care that it's coming anymore because you know you're the one generating it.
Okay.
Now, what about this water bottle real quick?
So I have never been a water drinker, but since January, I finally got up to I got up to a gallon a day. I was doing great, and I was planning. I was following, tracking, doing a great job. I mean, in my mind, I was doing a great job. And then around September, when all this started, I just got so overwhelmed. I'd look at the planner, and I'd freeze. I stare at the water bottle and sometimes even cry because I'm like, just to drink this water bottle feels so overwhelming. And I keep asking myself, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if I drink it? What's the worst thing if I don't? And then play games and go, okay, well, I'm not going to have a Diet Coke until I drink water. And then I don't drink either.
Because so tell me, why are you not drinking water? Why is it overwhelming? We've got...
I don't know.
Well, you're going to take guesses. We don't say... You have got to quit saying, I don't know. How old are you?
49.
How? 49? Okay. We don't get, like, when you're 3, you get to say you don't know why you're not drinking your water. When you're 49 years old, this is not like a high level problem to solve.
It feels like one.
You know why it feels like one? Because you don't want to be wrong.
Oh, okay.
You've already outed yourself that you don't like being wrong. All you want is the answer. Well, okay. Now we get to be wrong.
We're going to practice right now. So we're overwhelmed. You see the water, you're overwhelmed. Just tell me about it. I want you to like picture your gallon sitting there.
I don't even think you might have thought. I start with just a 16-ounce bottle. And normally on the way to work, I would drink.
I don't want to know how you drink water. I want you to be looking at a gallon and you're overwhelmed and you're like, I don't even think I can drink it.
Yeah.
So what is going on in your head? Why can't you drink the water? Why can't you just pick and be like, fuck it?
I know I can't say I don't know, but
yeah, so take five guesses.
I mean, it literally, like, I just feel paralyzed. Like, yeah. I just stare at it and I don't know. I try to figure out why I won't do it, but I just stare. And then
ask questions. So these are the actions because you keep thinking.
And there's times I just pick it up and start drinking it and it's painful. I mean, it really feels painful
because
I don't want to. I hate water. Absolutely hate it.
Well, all right. So now we've solved it. Like you've said, I don't know 1,000 times. I can't even imagine why I would have a problem drinking water, but you know, on the side, I absolutely hate it.
I hate it. But I know I can't drink 12 and 14 Diet Cokes a day and be healthy.
Right.
So I've done that forever, but so I finally got myself drinking water and now I just can't make myself do it anymore. I guess maybe it's because I'm doing so many other things I don't want to do right now that I don't want to drink water. Like,
yeah.
If I don't have to do all these other things, I'd rather do it drinking Diet Coke. I don't even want to drink wine or tequila anymore.
When you just allow yourself to cry and talk about it, you absolutely come up with exactly why you don't want to drink water. I'm doing so many other things right now. I don't want to do one more thing.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. That's why it's important for you to work on all the other stuff. And right. Like, you need to know that thought. I'm working on so many other things that I don't even want to do one more thing. That's when you can be like, but you know what? This one thing might be the nicest thing I do to myself. Even if I don't like the water, what I do like is knowing that when I'm going to be at work, if I can't manage my mind yet around work and I can't manage my mind yet around those things, I definitely don't need to go in dehydrated. I definitely don't need to go in feeling underfueled and tired from being dehydrated. Like that's when you can open up a loving conversation with yourself, but you have to admit the ugly truth, which is I fucking hate water and it feels like one more thing going on in my life. And it allows you to spiral there so that you don't have to think about, oh, so when I don't want to drink water, I should really just drink the water and ask myself, what else is going on that's the real problem here? It's my worrying about what other people are thinking. It's me thinking that the job is requiring too much of me. I think the biggest thing is you're requiring way too much of yourself.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to drink water and we're going to use that as a trigger that every time that you don't want to drink it, like when you think about your planning and eating healthy and all that stuff, anytime you're not wanting to do it, whether you do what you're supposed to do or not is irrelevant. I want you to use it as an opportunity to be like, if I am not wanting to do the things that I know are good for me, it's probably because I am avoiding some stuff that I need to ask myself, what's really going on here? Where am I truly overwhelmed? Where am I truly feeling anxiety? What am I truly afraid of? And allow yourself to write about it. I will tell all of you, the more you write about the crate, like when you were talking about that project, about not finishing that one thing, and you're like, and we just kept pressing on, what is the worst case scenario? It's like, well, I mean, ultimately it just wouldn't get done and I'd have to ask for an extension. But when our brain just thinks, it's like, everybody is going to think I'm terrible and they're all going to be like, their spare time is going to be ate up with me and figuring out how I shouldn't be here and how I don't measure up. Like, our brains will go crazy if we don't write down what's actually going on in our head and then just reading it and being like, is this really true? Could something else be true in this moment? This was a lot.
It was a, yeah.
Please watch this 1,000 times.
I will. I'm so like, I keep trying to like, it's hard because I don't normally use this laptop. And then I'm looking at this headboard thing. Is this, it looks like I'm like in the sleaziest motel ever, but I'm not. It's a really nice hotel in New Orleans, but.
I was going to say you had to be in New Orleans because that looks like New Orleans decor.
Yes.
It's very ornate and just, you know, I mean, I think New Orleans is gorgeous, but it's like all of the colors.
Yes, it is. And it's a fabulous little room, but then I'm like, I can't figure out like how to see you and look at the camera and anyway,
okay.
And hear you all at the same time. But thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I survived.
Plan this weekend. Have a plan for this weekend. It does not need to be perfect. It needs to be your vacation plan. Cut yourself some slack.
No, I did write a plan before I left home, and it was drink as much as I want, eat 2 to 2.
Okay. Then go drink as much as you want and eat 2 to 2. And just drink you some water, too.
I will.
Even though you hate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I think I had one more person. Nikki, if you're still here, I'm going to grab you. I just feel bad that that I wasn't going to call on you. I have just gone long today. You can tell that I've been away from you guys for a little bit because now I'm like all long time coaching. I gotta speed the process up a little bit. All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Tell us what's going on.
Oh, so my boyfriend broke up with me 9 days ago.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of want some ideas. Like, I feel like I'm still in this victim mode and I don't want to be here. And so.
So tell me about the victim mode.
Well, you know, like, he broke up with me. I mean, he's the one.
You want to be with him?
Yeah. I mean, we were together for 4.5 years. So.
But was it like glorious and you're just like, I'm blindsided. I thought it was all perfect. Or was it?
It had been rocky this past couple months because he had been sick with pneumonia and we had like a wedding to go to. And so it had just been, and he had gone out of town for work. So, I mean, the past couple months had been hard, okay. But, and we'd had a few fights, but I mean, he moved his stuff out because we lived together for 2 years, 2.5 years. And so he moved his stuff out while I was at work. And I had no idea that he was going to do that. So
do you think you'd be feeling better right now if he had like called you and said, hey, I'm just gonna let you know next Tuesday, I'm moving all my stuff out because I'm breaking up with you.
No.
Okay.
That's one
little small piece of the story that you need to just drop right now. It's like, and did you know he just did it when I didn't even know?
Yeah.
As if that would have been so much better had he given you a heads up.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to help him move his shit out, you know, so that's good. But, and then he saved you some effort. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought we were together for 4.5 years. So I just, you know, some more communication. Like, I just felt like I deserved more.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
You'd already been getting the smoke signals. You said it was already rocky. It was all these things. Like, sitting around thinking I deserved more. Like, so let's just run that model.
Yeah.
Boyfriend leaves, moves out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I deserved more. So would you be feeling 1,000 times better?
Like, and this is what we do in our brain. I wouldn't be hurting so bad right now if we had had a kumbaya in front of the fireplace as he was packing all his shit and saying, I'm out. And if he had given me like a 48-hour, you know, heads up text that he's moving out too, I would not be hurting now.
Yeah.
You think you'd still be upset?
Yeah. I mean, I would. And it, yeah. And I, like, I know that in my brain. It's just, I just keep thinking it a little bit.
It's right. But this is the part of the breakup, like the I deserved more. He should have let me know. Like, there are thoughts that are totally you causing yourself pain.
Right.
That's all your painful thoughts. Then there's going to be a set of thoughts like, I loved him. This is what happens when you really love someone and they're gone.
Yeah. Like,
that is processing pain. All of this is not processing pain. It's not admitting that you loved him. It's saying, I am a victim of you, rather than, you know what? I did love you. I loved you a lot. And when you're gone, this hurts. Until it won't hurt anymore because you're processing it. You're not processing it when you're thinking that it should have went down a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably did you a big favor just getting out so you could get to the part where you mourn him faster rather than dragging it out and being like, well, let's do it as a 2-week episodic event.
Yeah. Cause he moved out Monday and we're supposed to go to a wedding in California on Thursday. So he didn't go to that, of course. But, like one side, I know he did me a favor. I know it's fine. But then I just have those thoughts that aren't serving me of I deserve more, like 4.5 years is gone.
It's not 4.5 years is gone. You still have
it. I know.
They're sitting there.
I know. But I could have used it on someone else that wouldn't have done that.
No, that's a terrible thought. Somebody else would have been better than him. I wouldn't be going through this pain.
Yeah.
That's you arguing with what's happened. That's why it feels so terrible. You could have met someone that like abused you. You could have gone through 10 boyfriends in 4 years and never experienced a long-term relationship. You could have dated no one. Like, there's so many thousands of things that could have happened.
Yeah.
I would just stay in the lane of, I have the 4.5 years. Like, this is the perfect opportunity to go back and be like, you know what? What did I learn?
Yeah.
What did I love about this relationship I would want to look for in the future? And then what is some of the shit that, like, I just wouldn't, like, be honest. Like, there's probably parts about how you showed up that you don't want to show up next time. There's parts about him. There's like, you know what? He's a great guy, but these things, I wouldn't necessarily pick that in the next partner.
Yeah.
That's like, you go back and you start processing and you cry and you tell yourself, I'm upset. Like, when you say it could have been different, should have been different, these things might have happened, this was a waste, whatever, you just tell yourself, and that's just what I'm thinking right now, because what I don't want to do is be like, I loved him and I still wish he was here. That's probably what's going on for me.
Oh, are you still there?
Yeah.
I had a call. yeah.
Like, how do you feel about the breakup?
How do I want to feel?
Yeah.
I want to feel like, well, honestly, I just want to forget it. It just feels like, kind of feels unreal. Like, I'm still a little bit numb about it now, but eventually I just want to be content with it and just be like you said. I learned it was a 4.5 year lesson. It could have been worse, or you know,
I wouldn't try to move to feeling better about it. What I would do is like use those thoughts to argue the bullshit thoughts. So when you say I deserved more, you say like, I got plenty.
Yeah.
Like, I got plenty. I had 4.5 years.
Right. And not like, dwell like on his lie. Like, just him lying to me doesn't. It like, doesn't.
What was his lie?
Well, just that he moved out. without telling me, or that.
I mean, like, one of the things you could easily think is, you know, he did me a favor. I don't think I would want to be with someone that would just decide to like leave me on the, on a dime.
Right. Yeah. That's what all my friends say.
Yeah. I mean, but you just like, you just have to like be compassionate with where you're at with the process right now. I think for you, it's a lot of just recognizing when you're playing the victim of this relationship, like you said in the beginning, like,
yeah,
thinking I deserve more. He should have done this different. You know, had he just sent me a text and told me he was leaving and we could have our kumbaya about it, like somehow I'd feel better. It's like, no, I would not have felt better.
Yeah.
I didn't expect this to happen. And now I'm like every other human. When you're used to living with someone and they're not there anymore, your brain has to readjust to all the things. And when you don't think that that's a problem and that it should have been different, then you can like be upset without being bullshitty upset on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then everyone is like saying no contact. So, and I really haven't contacted him at all. And I don't really feel like I want to like there's nothing really more, but then I think, well, sometimes like I want to, but I don't, but
why
I don't
do you want to.
It would just be probably, I want to him to explain things that aren't explainable or to agree with me that he's an asshole, you know, just stupid stuff. But.
So let's just say that, let's just play for fun. You call him up and be like, hey, I really need to see you.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and you, and he sit there and he goes, you know, I really was an asshole, but I still don't want to be with you. That was very douchey. And I'm very happy not being with you. I mean, you would just, it's the idea. I think you would feel better if these things happened. And what happens is that you're thinking, if these actions happen, then suddenly I'll feel better. And that's not how the model works.
Yeah.
You will feel better because you think, like if you, like, you want him to agree he's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just be thinking, I don't know what he's thinking, but he might be thinking he's an asshole for the way he did this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He may be thinking he's the best thing since sliced bread for doing this. And you could be like, and I feel bad for him because that's the kind of guy never probably going to find his woman.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need him to agree he's an asshole for you to feel better.
I know.
You get to feel better because you've decided that, like, you know, I'm working on me now. I don't have to figure out a way for him to think and feel for me to feel better. I get to just figure out how I want to think and feel to feel better.
Yeah.
That's a
lot. And I think I'm moving towards that. Like, I'm feeling better 9 days out. I'm moving towards that. But then I have, it kind of goes in a circle, like, angry, sad.
If all you'll do, I promise you, you will get through this breakup like faster.
Yeah.
If every time you feel something, whether it's anger, sadness, even when you feel better about it, every single time you will say, it's because I'm thinking this. Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Never think, I feel angry because he left me. He didn't tell me he was going. Like, when you put all of it on him, you also put you feeling better all on him. You can't take ownership for feeling better. You have to wait for him to be like, all right, some weird coach from Nashville called me and said, Nikki's not feeling good. So I've got to tell you, I'm an asshole. And I'm like, that's the day's never coming.
Yeah.
Let's not wait for it.
Right. He's not coming back. Not, and I wouldn't take him back, but you know, yeah.
It's like, just think about where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was a great 4.5 years. It taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to be sad because I'm a girl. It's okay. Like, I'm going to tell you what, if I drop Chris like a bad habit, he better be sad too.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. You'll be fine. Just take ownership that it's always my thoughts causing my own pain.
Mm-hmm.
Best medicine. I swear to God, it's the best medicine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay, guys. A couple announcements. We'll get out of here. I'm so sorry everything went so long. I just had a lot to say today, obviously. The 6-day Nashville training with me, October 28th is when it closes. The packages for the pre-work and the time we're going to spend together the couple of months, they're all going out next week. So the sooner you guys actually get registered, I can order enough stuff. I've got a lot of it here. I ordered a little extra, but I may have to order a few more. Let's see. What else? Tribe New Show is this Friday. So what the Tribe New Show is where I'm going to come on and I'm going to talk to you about all the amazing things happening in November. We have really cool stuff, but the main focus is we are going to learn how to do the holidays together so that you're not eating your face off because people are pissing you off. You're not feeling totally out of control. You don't just suddenly throw your planning aside. All the things I'm going to be giving you, even like tips, tricks, hacks, all kinds of stuff that goes on around the holidays. Handling the holidays might be one of the best courses that we do in PNP. Because it kind of brings home a lot of the core fundamentals during a time of year that is notoriously the hardest to stay on routine, to think positively, to feel in control with food. Like all your temptations and all your things are right front and center. So we do it every year. It's always a great program. I'm super excited. And I'm going to go over more details about that on Friday. And that's the big ones. I think that's the big things. And we also have a new call structure next month. So if you want to go ahead and take a look at the calendar on pnptribe.com, you can see all the new kinds of calls we're going to have. I'm so excited about them. We're going to be doing such good work with you guys. We're tailoring them down a little bit to very specific types of calls so that when you're listening to the replays, they're all very topical and stuff. Makes it just easier to consume the content. All right. So I will see you guys on Friday. I believe it's in Facebook at noon. So if not, the calendar has where it's at. I just don't have my calendar in front of me. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.